A note and a dedication. So many of us wake up in the morning feeling overwhelmed by a world where bluster, hubris, and even cruelty are normalized and sold as a form of leadership. Before our feet even hit the floor, we're on our phones witnessing the consequences of misused power and the cost to humanity extracted by leaders who believe they should be served by others rather than being of service to others. I recognize that choosing courage, discipline, and kindness can feel impossible and increasingly vulnerable in a time when even empathy has been vilified. I also understand that fostering care, connection, and belonging in our organizations seems downright subversive. But I have hope. In my work, I get to see people who have not given up on their values and what it means to lead while honoring what it means to be human. They're listening, staying curious, and creating cultures of accountability. I see leaders who understand that performance and impact increase when people feel seen, heard, and respected. I see people who are willing to do the work necessary to understand themselves and to build connection and trust with others. This book is dedicated to all of you who are choosing to be brave with your lives, your love, and your work, even when it's hard. Especially when it's hard. Thank you for finding your strong ground and becoming our strong ground. Chapter 1, Strong Ground. I think riders should be required to apply for a permit if they want to use the word writhe. It may be tempting to use it metaphorically, but if you've ever experienced the kind of bodily pain that reflexively leads to actual writhing, you're not likely to appreciate the off-label usage. I confess to having used writhing to describe the discomfort of living in uncertainty, but that was before I experienced the type of pain that drives you to your knees and finds you contorting and twisting your body, searching for even a second of relief so you can catch your breath. Moving forward, I solemnly swear to use the word writhe only in its most literal sense. Okay, let's just get this over with quickly. I was on the pickleball court. If you're pumping your fist in the air and saying, awesome, I love pickleball, let's go, keep listening. If you're thinking, oh God, give me a break with pickleball, well, you can take some satisfaction in knowing that it almost killed me and a shitload of other people over 50 who have rekindled their competitive spirit and suffered through multiple appointments with physical therapists and orthopedic surgeons worldwide. On this sunny afternoon in a local community center, on an old, varnished wooden basketball court where makeshift pickleball lines were marked off with blue painter's tape and a crappy portable net was barely standing upright, I served the ball as hard as I could. Now, my opponents were better than me, and after weeks of trying to earn my way into a game with them, I was very eager to impress. The ball hit my paddle, and the next thing I knew, I was lying on the ground trying to catch my breath and wondering if I had been stabbed. Searing pain was shooting from one side of my lower back up through the middle of my shoulder blades and all the way down my calf until it wrapped around my ankle like razor wire. I couldn't walk or talk or even make sense of what was happening. Somehow, after I spent 30 humiliating minutes writhing on the ground with a circle of stars over my head like a Tom and Jerry cartoon, the folks from my game got me into my car. I barely made it home, 4 blocks from my house, in an attempt to straighten my leg and get some relief from the pain. I went up a curb and across a driveway before finally managing to stop and put my car in park. I sat and cried for 10 minutes. Then crawled home at 2 miles an hour. Steve pulled me out of the car and got me onto the living room floor. He's a pediatrician, so he doesn't really scare easily, but I could see immediately that he was worried. I have a very high tolerance for pain, and this was different from anything I had ever experienced. It was worse than childbirth. I begged him to club me over the head or give me whatever drugs he could find to make the pain go away. He was shocked and said, "You don't even like to take Advil." I turned to him and screamed, "I don't give a shit. Get me anything that will make it go away. Rehab will be worth it." This was